You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show is broadcast live to Facebook. We're super excited to invite back a friend of the show, actress, director, writer, Jessica Cameron. We're talking to Jessica about some of her upcoming and recently released movies. Movies like Red Eye, American Guinea Pig, The Song of Solomon, and Buckout Road. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. We can interact with us and the guests. Also, head over to thedorkening.com to check out all of the other shows on the network. Really good people putting a lot of effort into some really good content. And also go check out our sponsor, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Extremely addictive, awesome quality coffee. And also, you know, they may be at a convention that you're at. You know, free samples. Good stuff. Anyways, go over to deadlygroundscoffee.com and order yourself a couple bags. Tell them I sent you. Anyways, enjoy the show.
Okay, here we go. With us tonight is Kevin.
Obviously. Let's get to the guest. Come on.
Okay, Wolfman.
Ooh, let's get to the guest.
Yo, yo.
Yep.
Tony.
What is going on, people?
And our guest of honor, Jessica Cameron.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. It's really exciting to be here.
Again, it's been numerous times, but it's always good to have you on. We're always excited about the stuff that you have going on. And we've seen some cool stuff from you in the last, you know, handful of months. Some of the stuff like, well, there's a big announcement. Red Eye is coming out finally.
Which is so exciting. And I'm so thrilled for these. First of all, like, they're wonderful people, which let's just get that out in the air, because I think we've seen a lot of people in Hollywood exposed for being lesser than quality human beings in the last few months. And that's putting it very kindly. So one thing that I always like to remind people, that not only are these two kids, and they really were, at least I think they're both still 19, some of the most driven and passionate people I've ever met, they're also just sweethearts, wonderful people. And then they work their asses off to make a complete feature film inside of a year. I mean, I struggle to do that, and I have age and experience on them.
And it's a good movie, too.
And it's that's just because it's a good feature film. It's not just one.
It's one hell of a debut.
Yeah, and I told I messaged Tristan through Facebook, but I had to put together a top five, and I did an indie and a you know, mainstream, a big budget, and I recommend Red Eye to a lot of people in my top five. So, you know, it's very impressive. I mean, I was very impressed. You know, considering, I mean, I can't. It almost feels like it's kind of like a backhanded compliment to say, you know, especially because they're so young, this is their first feature, but. Like, I still think it's really good. Like, it doesn't take that out of it.
If I didn't even know. Oh, no, I absolutely. I like to just bring up their age, because I think that it's a good motivator for everybody else. Because, again, I can't tell you how often I hear from people all the time, just excuse as to why they can't do it. And these are two kids, again. And Tristan's so honest. He's like, we didn't have money. We didn't have resources. We didn't have connections. They live in a small town in Kentucky. They don't even both live there. Destiny, his partner in crime, lives like 3 hours away. So again, it's one of those things where they didn't let any of those things stop them. So literally, if they can do it, in theory, anybody with the passion and drive can. You know what I mean? They literally, they have nothing on any single person out there, and they still did it and did it well.
And I just can't reiterate enough how, I mean, we see a lot of first-time directors, first-time producers that make movies where they throw something together. You just kind of like, okay, that was okay, but this is good. And I'm not trying to be backhanded about anything, man. This is a good movie with a good story. It's well edited, well put together, and the actors are doing one hell of a job.
Yeah.
You and Dorf and, you know, the rest of them.
Is it Dorf great? I love her in everything. Obviously, I'm biased, Dave.
Yeah.
I think she's pretty amazing.
There was something else that we got to see you and Dorf in. Dorf on golf, but we got to see Dorf and yourself in Buckout Road.
Yes.
Yeah, we were at a convention up in Buffalo, and I wasn't even aware that you were in it. And all of a sudden, I was like, wait a minute, that's Jessica Cameron.
Holy crap.
I'm in it, and I associate produced it, and that team is so great and so near and dear to my heart. Matthew Curry Holmes, if you don't know his name, he's the director. You will know his name. He's going to be right up there one day, not so far away, with the likes of Joe Lynch, Adam Green, all of the greats.
Yep.
Well, yeah. We do have trailers for both, and we actually interviewed Matthew at Buffalo Dreams. But real quick, here's the trailer for Red Eye, and then we'll go into Buckout Road.
We've reached our destination, Red Eye. We're hoping that these are the exact locations that the murders took place. Aren't you guys excited? This is the place.
We're staying where an iconic slasher legend killed his victims.
It's like staying at the Amityville house or Lizzie Borden
house. I gotcha, babe. Thing is, I love watching, not semi-living.
You heard that crazy lady. We came out here at our own risk. I told you this shit happened.
You promise me that you'll be real careful. If you scream, no one can hear you. And if you get lost, you're lost.
Riker, where are you?
If one of y'all gets hurt, well, I hope you know first aid. And most important, there's no phone tower in Black Creek. Every town has its legends, Jake. Come on.
Big old red eye might have gotcha.
On a weekend that I hung out with them, like, and I wasn't at the screening, and they hung out with me all weekend and just was like, oh my God, she's so great. She's such a nice person. And had no correlation that I was that same person.
That's funny.
So we're back. That was the trailer for Red Eye, which actually comes out on VOD February 9th.
Yay.
So awesome.
Next week.
Yeah. And Buckout Road, do you want to give a quick intro to what Buckout Road is? Jessica.
Absolutely. Buckout Road is modeled after a true story, a true urban legend, rather, that's based around an actual road called Buckout Road, to which horrible things happen. And this movie is an amalgamation of some of the funner parts of those real-life urban tales.
And real quick, Justin Thomas Ord says Jessica is awesome in the chat room. Also, Jason McFiggins.
Thank you.
What's up, guys? Hi, Jessica. Always good to see you on the show. Indeed.
And likewise.
There's a trailer for Buckout Road. Okay, we.
Tell me about these dreams.
The dream is fragmented.
Are you afraid?
Terrified.
Do you know where they take you?
Clearing off of Buckout Road.
I'm having dreams too. Tell me everything you know about Buckout Road.
Everyone here knows about Buckout Road, the most haunted road in America.
Just stay away.
You've been at this a long time, night after night. We are all sleepwalking. Each of us is having a dream related to a Buckout Road urban legend. We think we might be cursed. We're gonna end up killing ourselves just like Stephanie did.
Keep searching. I believe you'll find what you're looking for.
Something terrible is going to happen.
He is coming. My grandfather is trying to protect me. Prepare me.
Prepare you for what?
For this. Having your sacrifice means something.
Are you afraid?
but not like this. You know, I don't know. I think he's afraid of computers.
He's very shy.
Oh, yeah. He's a really nice guy, though.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart. He's one of my favorite people. Hi, buddy.
100 like Tears. You. He made 100 Tears.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
that movie.
And we are back.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Buckeye Road, we were able to see Buckeye Road, like I said. And I know that, like, the festival we were at was going on for 11 days. We saw a lot of stuff. We were only there for the opening weekend, like the first like few days.
Oh, well, thank you for checking out that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but like it was my favorite full-length feature there. And the only thing that I really wish, I mean, it's not that I really wish, but I was excited to see the new American Guinea Pig. But it was later in the week and I just didn't have the money to stay there because I had to go to work. But yeah, I really enjoyed Buckeye Road. I really think it's worth you know, everyone checking out when it comes out. It's some great acting in it.
I'm really excited by it. And I think like the story and the storytelling, I'm biased. I'm friends with Matthew Curry Helms, the director, but as a fan, I feel like he's one of those filmmakers that doesn't steal or rip off other concepts so much as he's inspired by, and he pays homage to so many of the films that we all know and love. Mm-hmm. And he does it in a way that's still original. And I really love and respect that. As a fan of the genre, that's what I want to see people doing. I want them to, you know, use their inspiration and their passion and do that within their own films. And I think he did a really great job. There's so many, like, charming 80s, you know, nods. It's great.
And then when we do get to see you in the movie as well as Dorf, it's pretty, like, quick, but it's pretty brutal. And it's... For the people that like want some extra gore in their movie, you know, this movie doesn't need it. Believe me. I mean, it's not like one of those movies that it's a good movie in general. The story's great and everything. But, you know, for those people that just like, I want something extra, this is, they're very quick, but they're very brutal.
Well, it was also, you know me, I'm, you know, I'm the odd one out. I'm not one for gore, but it was very tastefully done. Very well done. You know, was, yeah. But speaking of passion,
oh, Jesus. Here we go, guys. Strap in.
Ooh, this could go in so many directions. I can't wait to see where you take this segue.
You know who has passion for coffee is Tom at Deadly Grounds.
Oh, my God. You're a professional, Leo Pond.
Yeah.
Man.
I try. Yeah, so Deadly Grounds is a sponsor, but we absolutely love them.
Does that mean that I get free coffee?
We don't get free coffee.
No, we buy a lot of coffee from him. That's
why. So Scarecon New York, last time we were there, I've told this, you know, we tell this every time because it's ridiculous. Before the convention even started, Leo spent $100 on coffee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm such a huge coffee fan. I'll have to find those Deadly Grounds people. I actually haven't tried those. Is it like regular or like extra strength coffee?
It's not extra strength. No. It's not. I mean, it's good coffee. It's good. I mean, it's good coffee, but... The one thing I've tried other Deadly brands that are extra caffeinated in, it tastes like chemicals to me. Like it doesn't taste.
Oh,
right.
See. Oh no, honey, you need to wake the fuck up. Is an extra caffeine brand that will. Yeah, that's what it's called.
I'm like, is this a suggestion? Like, wake the fuck up. But we'll grab you some Deadly Grounds and we'll send it out your way.
Well, yeah, and I love the fact that you're, like one of my favorite beverages is sponsoring this show. That's freaking rad.
Legit.
You go, Deadly Grounds. You go.
It's like they're at all the conventions we go to, and like there's always a line there. They're great, great product, great people. Yeah.
And
they have them at your convention.
There's a reason
I bought
a French
another
press.
Reason to go to a convention near you. Whenever I go to conventions, I don't want to name any names because I don't want to shame any, but they always have like this really chintzy, cheap, basically colored water that's like they have in the hotel that's not good. So the fact that your conventions have delightful designer coffees that are fucking horror named, I love it.
They go to all the conventions in a hearse and all the coffee sold out of the back, like out of a coffin, like at their booth.
So I just wanted, that's what I want to be when I grow up.
Oh yeah, I do too. I'm very jealous of them. But
tell her your favorite flavor out of it, man.
You talking about me?
When you're drinking right now? Yeah.
Oh, I have the one I like now is just maple walnut. I think it's really good. Leo,
never had a maple walnut coffee.
It's really good, but at the same time too, I like just their regular dark roast, like their regular breakfast blend. It's just really good, and Leo likes what is it called? The Witch's Brew.
Witch's Brew. I'm drinking the chocolate raspberry right now. Yeah, but I had, raspberry. You know, a pot of maple this morning, and I drink way too much coffee. So
you do.
There's no such thing. It's the elixir of life.
I'm not going to get into the heavy whipping cream, but anyways, do you need to play the ad?
Yeah, here we go. Here's a zombie talking about Deadly Grounds coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Okay, so this is the one I have.
All coffee.
I really like this.
Out of death.
This is great. This doesn't have like any weird taste, and it's extra caffeine.
I tried. They have awesome mugs. Yeah, nice.
And this is delicious. Yeah. It's macadamia.
Ooh. Actually, Wolfie just sent me some coffee, and I really liked it. It's good. Yeah.
See, and I have like all these cool mugs. I love coffee. Yeah. It's like my favorite thing.
Well, we'll definitely make sure we grab a bag for you. Let us know what flavors you like, and we'll pick something up.
Yeah. I just am so impressed that your conventions have delicious coffee. That's amazing.
And free samples too. I mean, that's the thing. There's always, it's a fight to get to their booth.
Yeah, when you go to the convention,
more reason to come.
There's free samples.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Because for me, like, that's one of the hardest parts. I actually have a traveler steeping thing that I usually bring with me, and then I bring my own coffee because that will literally ruin my vacation or any trip that I have if I can't get proper coffee. It's such a thing for me. And we had when we filmed the tour in London. London is a town, England, where they don't really do finding regular coffee is hard. They do instant, and we were really tired the first like week. And it turns out that instant coffee has a much lower caffeine rate.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, but I agree. Whenever we're planning a vacation, I always kind of look to see what's around for coffee shops, and like. So there's like one town in New Hampshire we go to, and I'm like, I'm always the first one up. I'll just walk to the coffee shop, get a coffee, and it's good stuff. Anyways, I know Wolfie had a question before. We're back, right?
We are. And real quick, Deadly Grounds, check out the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching, if you want a link. And Matthew Solomon says, "Eek, I'm late. Hey, guys," and lovely Jessica.
Hey, Matthew.
And how Jess doesn't have a coffee sponsorship by now completely beyond him. And yes.
Right?
Josh has
this life brought to you by. I almost had an energy drink, but the problem is they wanted me to like sign that I would not ever be drinking any of their competitors' drinks, and I was like, I can't promise that.
Right.
You know, I wind up on the sets. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason said, "This is why we need Jessica at Scaracon," and
exactly.
I would love that.
Josh wants to know. He's been waiting for American Guinea Pig. Is there a release date soon, or is it out already?
Well, they're going to be doing the information hopefully sooner rather than later. I know they're currently working on all of the extras. So after they do that, they'll start talking placement. Keep in mind, placement takes 3 to 6 months. That's really like a non-negotiable thing. So it's not really something that, you know, Biro could fast track any quicker than 3 to 6 months, depending. So I would suspect it'll be a late summer, early fall release.
And, you know, we had the opportunity to see it, but we unfortunately couldn't take the opportunity. So it looks like it's in some festivals out there.
It's
so
in festivals,
So keep an eye out if you're at a festival. You know, check out the schedule and see if it's playing somewhere and go see it there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. It still is playing. And if you have a festival and you want it, just talk to Biro because hopefully I'm sure he'd be more than happy to send it your way.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll reach out this week.
We should talk to Scaracon and just be like, let us just book like a whole bunch of movies for the whole weekend.
That would be so fun. Oh my God. We could just like, we could like do like the Deadly Grounds hosted, 24-hour marathon.
Yeah, powered by Deadly Grounds.
And just pop coffee. Like
powered by Deadly Grounds.
Yep.
Right. That would also be like the greatest thing ever.
I agree 100%.
24 hours of just watching movies and drinking coffee. I'm so there.
Yep.
All right. We have to let Scaracon know what's up. Yeah. Anyways, I know, like, before we got into the topic of coffee, I know Wolfie was trying to say something, and I interrupted him, and I apologize.
Sorry, Wolfie. I get distracted.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. What I want to talk to her about is how things are going with Mania.
It's going really well. We have our distribution in place. Right now we're just fine-tuning the trailer and stuff, and we are looking for a release date, hopefully in the summer. Obviously, again, kind of like the other one, it does depend upon all of the trailer and stuff when it gets locked. So stay tuned. But I will say I'm really pleased so far with this deal. I'm really honored to be working with this company, and it's better than I could have dreamed at this stage of my career. Kill the PA. That's still in post-production. We have we made it into a television show, so we've been fine-tuning 24 episodes that are about 30 minutes each. So it's about a 12-hour narrative, which is why it's taking longer, because that's kind of a bear.
But it makes sense. I mean, especially with, Kill the PA, Mania, and...
Lilith. Formerly Desolation.
Lilith. Yeah, they were all filmed at the same time on that little road trip you took.
You know? They were. And by little, you mean traveling all across the country while making two movies and a 24-episode doc. Little.
That's right.
Just a small thing, you know.
Yeah. Right, just small. Lilith is currently almost done. We're just waiting on score, to which the wonderful, talented composer Eric Ehlich is working very hard at that. And I am honored and blown away with his tremendous skill. He's really done a phenomenal job on it, better than I could have ever dreamed.
So why the name change?
I just felt that Desolation didn't really fit the script. Desolation was always sort of a placeholder title, in all honesty. I mean, and Desolation, like the movie, to me, when I hear Desolation, and tell me if you think anything different, I think of a movie that takes place in the middle of nowhere. It's desolate. It's that. That's not what this is. It's about a long, like, well-known demon who's known as Lilith that basically body hops trying to capture souls along the way, and an unknowing married couple picks up this female hitchhiker who turns out to be this demon who's trying to collect souls. So knowing that, I don't think Desolation is a good fit. You know, I guess in theory, like, there's a diner and, you know, a house and stuff, and it's not like we ever see the couple in a major city. So it is kind of like, you know, sort of like it's a traveling movie, you know, like the husband and wife that encounter this demon, they are traveling. But again, like, there's nothing about it that's really, like, desolate, you know?
Right.
So I just felt Lilith was a much better fit.
These are three movies I've been waiting for forever, because when we met up at Crypticon, you showed me footage back then,
yes.
You know, and it's like, I was just kind of like, yes, I'm on board. I want to see Kill the PA and Mania. When you showed me the push for Mania, that was.
Yeah, right. So, and like we are looking, I'm not going to do as long of a festival run with Lilith, so that's going to hit consumers a lot quicker. We are looking at hopefully a couple festivals in the summertime. And then Kill the PA, we're hoping to time it with the release of Mania. So because it's a show, it doesn't really have a festival run per se. Don't get me wrong. If once we get it all locked and finished, certainly if there is a film festival that wanted to play it, we could. But again, it's very much a 12-hour sort of, you know, 30-minute episodic.
Yeah.
So are you writing directing anything new?
Yeah, we are currently finishing our script for Besties, which is really exciting for me. It'll be the next movie that I direct. Hopefully Dorf will star. Just, you know, that bitch gets tricky with scripts. So I'll have to wait to get her a script. I teased because she was supposed to be in Mania. And when she got this, I'd warned her. And even I tagged her on Facebook. I was like, oh my God, there's so much nudity in Mania. And then as soon as she got the script, she was like, Jessica, there's way too much nudity. And I was like, I warned you, there was a lot of nudity. So she didn't want to do it for that reason. So that being said, there's not nudity in Besties, really. So I think she'll be fine with it. So Besties will be the next one. And then also, like I said, just getting Kill the PA and Lilith through post, getting Mania through distribution. An ending is also in post. That one's going to have a title change as well. An ending is sort of more of just a placeholder title. For me, sometimes the titles just don't come out to the end. So,
One of those you have to see what it builds up to decide what's proper.
And sometimes, you have a really great story and a concept and something that you know can be executed really well, but you just don't have a great title, you know? And luckily, you can kind of come to terms with that anytime throughout production. You know, it doesn't have to be locked in place in advance.
So what were you going to say, Kev?
I was just going to say, like, it sounds like it's going to be a really good year for you. Like, it already sounds like it started to be a really good year.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I've already, honestly, this is my best January, I think, ever as an actor, as well as everything that we're talking about from the directing, producing side of it, which is really exciting for me. I've signed on for 3 projects, which I'm really passionate about. I have offers for others, which, again, we'll just see how they go. So I'm really honored that so many are responding so well, and that also this year for me was like the first time that people started, you know, I would submit on a casting site, which is really common. That's how we get work here in LA and major markets. And I would get like an email being like, we love you. We love your work. If you want the job, it's yours. You know, don't have to audition or anything. And even though like a lot of people are like, oh my God, I can't believe it's taken you this long for that. But at the end of the day, keep in mind, I act in non-genre stuff. There's so many actors, there's so many people, there's so many movies being made. The fact that anybody kind of remembers anyone, I think, is a little bit of a miracle. And yeah. I'm certainly honored. And I don't mind auditioning. If it makes you feel better, I'm happy to audition. But it's also just sort of like a nice vote of confidence when people are like, no, we love your work. We would be honored to work with you. So yeah, it's been a really good year. And it's January, so it's just started. Yeah. I mean, it's February. But plus for all the releases, exact second, it's still January.
Yeah, for all the releases that are coming out this year, too, it's like some great stuff. You know, so it's, you know, just going to help your name even more. You know, that's awesome. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's a really exciting time. I'm really, really happy. I'm kind of like, I'm finally feeling, settled is probably the wrong word. Content might be a little bit better one, you know? Hopefully also we'll see like Solitary Confinement and The Tombs, which are 2 movies I'm really excited to see that I acted in. The Tombs, I got to play like the bitchiest TV host ever. And it was so much fun because I never get to play like the bitchy cunty character. Was that I'm always like the nice girl next door, you know?
Was that the one you filmed out in the UK or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Which alone was super duper awesome. But the fact that the crew was so amazing and on top of everything, so fantastic.
Nice.
So out of all your roles that you played, you have so many out. Is there one that sticks with you the most? Is there one that you like, if you had to choose one out of all of them, you're like, this is my favorite thing I've ever done? Or is it hard to?
I mean, it's hard to because you have bias and I'm very aware of my bias. So like Truth or Dare will always be a special place in my heart because it was the first time I went behind the camera. But I don't, like, I think Heather is the standout performance in that movie out of the women. And I think Kaiser and Dora Van Vliet is like the standout of the men. And I think the men also give a better performance than myself. But again, it's still something so close to me. I would have to say, like, right now, I'm very happy with my role in American Guinea Pig Song of Solomon. I believe I did a really, really great job. And I'm not one to be that boastful about my own work. I'm usually like a nitpicker. I can literally look at everything I've ever done and tell you 50 million things that I could have done slightly differently. And it could be like literally like the difference between like looking like this above the camera to looking like that. Something that most people wouldn't notice. But in my head, I'm like, I should have shifted my gaze like a half inch up. It would have, you know, added something to that. So the fact that I really like it, I think says something. And it's really cool to see me, like, again, like, I'm playing a demon, like, a full-blown, like, you know, a demon who's possessed a girl, right? So I'm really playing that, and it was such a challenge to learn all of the Latin and the biblical phrases, both of which had to be learned verbatim and really feel organic. Like, I would lock myself in my bedroom for, like, 8 hours, and just to get down a paragraph, you know, because it was so important to me that it was bang on and it felt organic, right? Because I wasn't like a girl saying these Latin phrases. I was like a multi-thousand year old demon as old as time who created these phrases. You know what I mean? So there needed to be like no hesitation. They needed to be so organic and just sort of come out of my mouth spewing vile. And then you add like all of the actual physicality to it because there was so much practical effects, which we had an amazing team working with. But it's still a little bit, well, it's a lot strenuous. At the end of the day, it's just a lot, you know, and like the full contact, Scleris lenses, all of these things are things that make a performance that much more layered and that much more sort of challenging from the physical aspect as an actor. And I really think I did a good job.
I really.
Okay. Okay. I, yeah. I mean, like, it's bad enough I want to see it, but now I really want to see it.
Yeah, you're talking about the Latin and having to learn the biblical phrases and all that stuff. I'm like, God damn it, I want to see this movie.
Right? Well, it's like one of the things that, like, you don't think, like, as an actor, it didn't occur to me, because I've had other, you know, roles where I've had to say Bible phrases and stuff like that. But again, never from the position of, like, a demon who was around when they were created. You know what I mean? So, or, like, again, like, the demon throwing them in the face of the priests. So, like, they have to be verbatim. There's no room to add, like, a the or an n, or, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, they have to be really spot on accurate. And also,
there's,
like,
got to be a flow.
Exactly. And said with that level of intention. Yeah. So, and also, yeah, I think, you know, Byron said he wants to work with me again. So I think that that's always a good thing. I think the fact that I have so much sort of repeat business, and the fact that, like, directors and producers who work with me once and then hire me again, I would think that that's when you could tell if you're doing something right. The fact that people want you around, that they've worked with you once and you're like, we like your professionalism, your acting was great, let's get you on board this other thing.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's like, I love all horror, but one of my favorite things of horror is demonic and possession films. And
right, and there's
this,
so
is, this is, this is demonic possession and a Jessica Camera film, so it's three times as good.
Well, thank you. It's hard to do on a low budget. I will say, I haven't read a script that was this strong, that strong, in a very long time. I just thought it was so great and so well written. That being said, it's not for the faint of heart. You know, I do think, I heard one reviewer and their main criticism, they're like, it's a little bit repetitive. And I guess, like, if you look at it without the layers and the nuances, it can be. Because how this movie is different than all the other exorcism movies is we kind of give you a very few moments of backstory and history, and then you're in it. And it's priest, the first priest and the first attempt at the exorcism. You know what I mean? And then for the rest of the movie, it's just all trying to save my person, the body to which the demons inhabit its life, and attempting to get an exorcism that works. So you could look at it and be like, oh my God, it's just like a giant exorcism. Yeah. but for me also, that's like the fun part, right? Yeah. And each of the different scenes are so layered and nuanced that there really are many differences. If you just look past the fact that you're right, after 5 minutes of explanation, we're jumping into the exorcism, and then you're going to deal with that. But Byron didn't want to, like, you know, just add fodder. He wanted it to just be constantly the good stuff, you know, and to see, like, we have different priests come in and that each make a different attempt to save my soul. And I think it's really fascinating. And also true to life. You know, a lot of the stuff that Byra took was based on real historical fact. You know, like, the robes were actual robes that the Vatican wears when performing exorcisms. You know, the exorcism kit is one that he found at auction. That's an authentic kit. So we really tried to make it as realistic and, you know, intense as possible. And I think it really, really worked. That being said, it's not for everyone. I think there's so many people that will not be able to handle the movie. It is a little bit, not unlike Truth or Dare in that sense, that it's a bit of an endurance test. You know, it's definitely not for the faint of heart.
I want to put
forth. I'm sold.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I mean, I'm already, you know, salivating at seeing this movie, and she just keeps selling it and selling it.
Yeah, she keeps, like, adding layers on top of it of awesome. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I can't wait. I mean, and I'm super excited that I'm finally going to be able to see Mania as well, by the way. I've been wanting to see that forever.
Too. I'm really excited for it, and I'm really honored. Honestly, like, I can't share the details yet. I don't have permission. But when I can, it's really exciting. You know, like, we all hope that our movies not only get released, but get released well by a good company. So when you're getting released by one of the best, it's just such a blessing and such a huge opportunity as an independent artist. You know, these are people that often release movies that are like $5-10 million. So the fact that this company is kind of taking a chance on me because they believe strongly about my little film, I'm really blessed.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm excited for you. God damn it.
But to tell you the truth, sometimes as with indie films, it's hard to, you know, hear about them at first. But I think, as bad it is for the, you know, people who want to see it, I think the longer it goes without coming out, it builds up that much more hype that it might actually help the movie a little bit more. I mean, everybody has been hearing about it for so long, but sometimes that might help, you know, the situation. It might be so many people hear about it, oh, I can't wait for this movie, and then it's like, oh, well, what movie's coming out? And when it finally does come out, it, you know, it might have that much more of a hype train behind it.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the hope, right? Fingers crossed. Just keep talking about it.
So, that's, yeah.
So that's always a hope, but I mean, there's always the chance of, you know, after that 6 or 10 years or however long it's going to be. Well, I say 6 years because All the Boys Love Mandy Lane took 6 years to come out in the U.S. Hmm. And there was this big hype behind it. And for me, it didn't live up to the hype. But that's the downside of that. That's the flip side of that coin. It's like not everything can always live up to that.
Well, but I think that hype was largely based on the fact that the lead was somewhat known. Right? So not necessarily based on it being a great film, but the fact that it was Amber Heard doing a horror film.
Yeah, well... I'd heard differently. I heard that like it was one of the best horror films, and you know it was being released in Europe, and North, it just wouldn't get here in North America for like 6 years, and so.
Well, there's hype behind Mania for me because it's your movie, and yeah. I love Ellie Church as well. So it's like Ellie Church and Jessica Cameron all involved in the same thing. What? I'm like, all
right. Right.
What about Eli Church? Is he in it?
Eli Roth. I mean, I wish. Well,
Leo accidentally called Ellie Church Eli Church once on the show because she was in the chat room. And
I suspect it's not the first time that's happened.
Oh, no. But yeah, so we haven't let him forget it, obviously.
Yeah.
This is a long
and
time
ago. She came on one time going, you could just call me Eli.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that she was cheeky about the situation.
Oh, yeah,
but again,
yeah.
I think it happens. I get called Jennifer. You know, really? Sometimes. Yeah, but, and people don't really, I have, you know, it's just, it's, a, and it, you know, a child around in the 90s, a lot of us were named Jessica and Jennifer, so
yeah.
A lot of people just confuse the two. And I think, like, you know, I always look at, like, as long as it's not done with malicious intention, it's an accident, it happens.
Yeah.
We've also, find me one person who's never done that.
Right, but also, if you actually look at Ellie Church, there's no way she looks like an Eli.
It was in the chat room. It was in the chat room.
Stop defending your mistakes.
I will always defend. And speaking of Jessica, we have another Jessica next week. Jessica Sonneborn is going to be joining us.
Okay.
Aw, she's a sweetheart. I know her in real life.
Yeah.
Terry Smith says, can't wait for my hand, leg, and nightgown from Song of Solomon. And
hi, Terry. Oh, awesome. Yay. That means he will have a full set of hands because I gave him my hand from Unending. So we didn't do a crowdfund or anything for it. I just thought it would be really fun to creepily send my prosthetic hands to, you know, somebody I adored.
That's awesome.
Just to get it in the mail. Just
very
like
cool.
Designer warning. Just you get something. I mean, that's fucking awesome, I think.
That is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Either that or terrifying. It's like, what the hell is this?
Well, I mean, it kind of shows the true colors of people, right? Like, you're either going to freak out and call the police, or you're going to be like, who the hell they could have sent this?
No,
but the other thing is, if they know it's from, if they look at the box and go, oh, Jessica,
right?
You kind of know what that's going to be on the inside, you know?
Well, right? Also, yeah, if the box.
Like, and I also feel like if you're my friend, you know. You know what I mean? Like, you know, let's just keep it real. You know.
But what if the box also gets stopped by, you know, through an x-ray machine? They see hands in
I think that's fun for the whole family, personally. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be even better.
Because then you know that they would go in and approach the person who it's being sent to, being like, what the hell's going on? Why are you receiving hands in the mail? Yeah.
I hope you film it.
Yeah.
Why are you getting
like, I mean,
body
technically,
parts,
like, here's the thing that I go by. The reason why it doesn't bother me in any capacity, because, again, it's, again, when you actually see them and you can, like, look and you can see it's a prosthetic, again, like, there's no way they can get in trouble for it, right? Because sending a prosthetic artificial limb is not illegal in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So if it was something that could get somebody else in trouble, then I would not be so comfortable with it. But again, it's something that they'd open it, they'd see that it was fake, and they'd all have a good little chuckle.
Yeah.
And I'd have a really, really, really good chuckle.
I do have to say that when we went to the set of Death House, and there was a couple of cadavers on stretchers in the corner, I legit thought they looked so real that I legit thought someone was going to jump up and try to scare us. You know, once we got up there, once you got really close to them, I was like, okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. But, like, legit, they looked like it was, I'm like, that's a real foot right there. But that's
they
just,
look
that's
real.
Just,
but I think it's a little bit different, too, though. Like, when you send, like, a hand or something, you have, like, the stump, which is, like, just cut off, right? So you can kind of see, like, all the doodads. So it's not like it's, like, you're seeing, like, the fingers underneath the blanket, you know? But, yeah,
right.
I love it when they're that authentic. Fuck yes.
Well, that Marcus had something to do with that movie too. So,
did he? That's right. I just lose track of all his work because he's just amazing, and he's awesome.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Josh Janot wants to know Oh, where did it go? What's the best thing you had to learn to get ready for a role?
I got to learn whip training once. That was really fun. Like, as far as just like cool things, found that I got to do scuba diving as well for an underwater pilot that never shot. Surprising! The underwater pilot never filmed. But they did pay for me to get scuba certified.
That's a plus, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really fun. So why not? I never thought it's not an inexpensive process to get scuba certified. So I was really excited. And I've done nothing with
it. Are you still caught up on it?
No, I think every couple of years you have to take it. I haven't done anything for a few more years. I'm pretty sure, though, I wouldn't have to spend like the $1,000+ to get certified. I think I can just take a reboot and bump me up there. But also, like, it's one of those things where it's actually really easy to do harm to yourself. So I'm not sure how active I would be doing it. It really does require somebody who's much more patient than I think. Like if you descend and you go too deep, you have to like bring yourself up at like, even if you're frightened of something, let's just say you encounter a monster or something underwater, you have to like ascend, go to the top at a very like a slower pace so that your body recalibrates as you're going up to like each tier basically, or else you can really do damage and actually kill yourself. And I just don't have good patient skills like that. Like if I want to get to the fucking top of the, I'm going to the top of the water, you know, and I've also seen other movies where it's like, if you see something down there that's bad, you need to get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So you're kind of like damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So probably not my kind of athletic sport.
If a shark's coming after you, like you need to wait. I need to adjust.
Right. You need to get out of it.
Yeah. So my question on that though is, so this was an underwater pilot. Like, was the whole thing underwater? Like, was it
supposed to be? Yeah.
Was it like a live action Snorks or something like that?
No.
Like,
no. See, that's funny. I don't remember too much about it because this is going back like 11 years, maybe 10. No, 10. I guess 10 years. Yeah, it would have been right at the start of my career. So I honestly don't remember a lot of details. I just remember it. There was like a whole group of us. There was like my mom type figure and there was like my dad type figure. And we were going to do this underwater pilot. And we all got scuba certified, which was, you know, costly. And then nothing.
The whole thing sounds wicked expensive. I can imagine why it wasn't made.
Right? Well, and again, also like Columbus, Ohio. Not exactly the market for that.
It was in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had water in Columbus, Ohio.
Right, they did. No, yeah, but then you have to get like your final test. You have to go to like a barge or like a man-made little river. You know what I mean? It's not like a real like, you know, there's nothing in there basically. It's man-made. Yeah. It's like a hole in the ground they filled with water.
It's so, actually the water world too, underwater.
I learned that when I'm so stubborn, I can actually hold my breath for like longer than my coach could, and it was just by sheer willpower. Afterwards, he was like, "How is that possible? I've been doing this for 30 years." I was like, "I don't fear death," and I was like, "I was sure. Like I was like, what's the worst that can happen? I pass out underwater. You have to save me, or it's like it's against you." So I was just like so stubborn. I was just like underneath the water being like, I'm not going up until you do. But just through like sheer willpower, I held my breath longer than him like 2 out of 3 times.
Oh, wow.
He was so pissed. He's like, nobody's ever done that better than me before. He's like, have you been training? I was like, no, I'm just literally that stubborn.
Like, listen, I'm like, you're teaching me how to dive in Ohio.
Or lose. I'm not losing. Other options.
She's just really competition-based, you know? It's like, hey, I'm not losing.
I can be, and I apparently was. Like, he was not impressed. He was after the fact, but yeah, it was pretty comical. I was like, sorry.
He retired. He's just like, I'm done. Right? I'm no more of this.
Girl. No, he was like, I'm going to quit smoking, and then we're going to go again. And I was like, okay, I'm always going to be stubborn.
He's blaming it on smoking. Yeah, okay.
I'm like, whatever. All that's going to happen is quit smoking and it makes you better, the chance of me blacking out is greatly increased. So note that and pull me up and give me air before I die. Thanks. Which is like your one job, so I'm confident you could do it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. You know, yeah.
You were a scuba diver instructor and nobody's ever died on your watch. So I'm real certain the blonde girl you challenged to an underwater, you know, holding your breath contest is not going to be the first. And if it does, you're really bad at your job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to be the one that, you know, is the cause.
I mean,
of
yeah,
we
kind
of
sucked to find that out, but I feel pretty confident I was playing the odds. And keep in mind, like when we did it, we were like in the shallow end. So again, like I feel like he could have gotten me out of the water without any difficulty and relatively fast. And I feel very confident in his like skills to like revive me, because again, that's what he's been doing for his life. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a gamble.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd do it again, but I did do it 3 times.
Yeah. It's less of a gamble when it comes to learning how to use a whip, apparently, right?
Yeah, right. And I feel like the older I get, the less willing I am to risk my life. When I was younger, I was like, meh, sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd do it again today. And like today, I'd just be like, fuck it, I don't want to do that. At the time, I was like, fuck yeah, I'll do this. Now I think I'd be like, why would I do that? No. No. But also, I'd be like, I don't want to put a wetsuit on. Those things are uncomfortable AF.
That's where she's like, no, I don't want to do that. Dorf, go do that.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, hey, mother, I have a job for you.
Yeah, he's like, I just wrote a new movie, and it's about you in a wetsuit.
Right?
It's you in a wetsuit diving into a ball pit in Walmart.
Hey, she's quick enough to dive into ball pits. I feel like it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to get her to dive into a pool.
It's true.
Would it be funny though if it was much more challenging? For the record, never ball pit dive. Like, it's actually quite dangerous. It's really not the smartest move. I keep telling you this. I was like, we are very lucky that something bad has not happened, because it's a real easy to like just sink, right? And that's a freaking tile floor.
Yep. And it's your height.
That or just fall through the only thing that they have is those little like stretchy like holders, so it's not like you're
some of them have like cages
hit a wall or something.
No,
oh, okay.
Cages. Yeah, yeah, cuz I don't think we were the first people to come up with this brilliant idea. In fact, we know that we weren't. But the fact also, there's no sign saying that you are not to climb and jump into the ball pit, which I also feel like is a lawsuit waiting to happen. So Walmart, if you're listening to this, you should probably just get safety signs and cover your own butt, because I feel like it's reasonable that there's people like Heather who just see this and automatically think it's like a toy.
Yeah. I can remember I know I'm aging myself, but in like the early 90s working at a place where that happened constantly, like with customers, they were constantly doing it. And I don't know. It was all the time, but of course, no one could film it on their phone and put it on the internet and make everyone watch it and everyone laugh. But whatever. It is what it is. How many times has she done it with you? Like,
3 or 4 times?
It's a little too much.
Yeah.
4 times.
Yeah, one more to get
like,
little...
The first time that I didn't think it would happen. And then we were like in, where were we? We were somewhere in Missouri and she did it. And then we went back and it was half full and she did it. And then we went back and they filled up all the way and then she did it. And then I think she did it a final time. I'm not sure if it was 4 or 5 times, because the last time she did it for sure, she climbed up and for whatever reason she stopped and she panicked. And I'm at the bottom being like, you got to make a choice. I don't think you should do it, but then get the fuck down or do it. Because the reality of the matter is I knew that like all of the security cameras could see her head pop up over the tall shelving because she had climbed it. Mm-hmm. So now they just have a random head popped up. So unlike normal, which I think she's so fast, like it's hard to prove what happened. You know what I mean? Or like you look away and she like dives and then it's over. You know, now her head has popped up and up there for like a good 30 seconds. And that was like the time that, you know, a lady came over to tell us that we could get in trouble and banned from that specific Walmart. I did clarify, though. I was like, are you talking banned from Walmart in general or just this location? And she said it was just that location. So, I mean,
it's worth it.
I feel like that's not exactly a deterrent because we don't live in, you know, Missouri. If it was like every Walmart ever, that would be a troublesome situation. Yeah.
So we do have a bunch of comments. Dave 86761 is asking, he lives in Hot Springs. How did you enjoy your visit? Also,
hi, Dave. Okay.
I'll give you a bunch of them all at once. Horror Show 3000 wanted to know if Silent Night was your first Christmas movie. And Terry was saying that he's building his own Jessica, 2 hands and a leg so far.
And a nightgown. So you've got the wardrobe as well, Terry. I had a lot of fun in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It was such a quaint, charming little town filled with wonderful human beings. And also the home of the best club sandwich I've ever had at the Copper Penny, I think it was called. So it was really wonderful. And everyone was so super kind and really nice. And I had a lot of fun. And yeah. Was there another question there? I think there was. Silent Night. First Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And my first time working with Steven C. Miller. So I haven't worked with him a second time, but hopefully that'll happen soon because I think he's really a brilliant filmmaker. And for the record, I still stand behind that remake. I think it's fucking fun.
I like it too. I enjoy it.
I love it. I just watched it for one of the 31 days of Halloween. Yeah. See, you know, last year. So
I mean
I'm like every time she...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's no, I was just gonna say every time I see something that Jessica's in, I'm like, yep, know her.
We know.
It's funny that still people like because I just have a small role, but they're like, "Was that you?" I was like, "Yep, sure was."
Yeah, I know that's like when it comes to like there's a handful of remakes that I think are actually decent, and that's one of them. Like, there's a lot that are just like not even worth your time. But
oh, completely. Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of the time too, it like depends upon is it people wanting to remake it because they feel like technology time could change it or make it better, or is it like again like a company trying to maintain ownership of a copyright, which I think those are usually the ones for me anyways that are the shittiest.
Yeah. I mean, there's some too where they take the movie and they like go a different direction, and sometimes it doesn't seem like it would be good, but like, I don't know if you ever saw the remake of Maniac, but I thought it was, I think it's better than the original.
I really liked it. I thought it was really strong. I thought Elijah's performance was fantastic.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know, it was really cool.
Agreed.
Plus the way it was shot too.
Well, but there we go, like a change in technology, yeah. Right? Like using that POV, which was something that wasn't really done back when the first one was made. You know what I mean? So just like changes in style and technology, I think really made it a new and very different film. Again, and I think in all the situations, at least of the remakes that I love, it doesn't take away from the original, right? The original is still fantastic and, you know, awesome in its own right. It's just sort of like a new vision, which for me, I really can get behind if I like the original story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then there's the other ones like the remake of Last House on the Left, which is better than the original. You know, I mean, there's just some out there that take an idea that was okay the first time and, you know, twist it on its head. It's a little bit better, you know.
True.
Here, this might be a loaded question, and maybe I don't know, but if you could remake any of the movies that you've made, would you make big changes to any of them?
No, not yet.
No? Okay. I know it's a lot of them aren't that old yet, but
there's nothing really that I would drastically. I mean there's personal issues, you know what I mean? Like I definitely would have done some recasting in Mania, but I think aside from that, but also like I think then you have to understand every time you make a change, it's got like X amount of changes on all these other things that you can't predict. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's like one of the things that really bothers me living in LA, where like you go see a movie and you overhear like all these people leaving the theater talking about what they would have done differently. And I never think like that because film is such a connective tissue and a huge group project. Essentially, you change one cast member and it's going to change how these other four people act. You know what I mean? So it's not really something that you can say objectively, you know, like when I worked in fashion design, right? And you would have a team of designers. Sometimes one person's designs just were not as strong as the other people's. But in film, it's not really as simple as just changing the one person that may or may not be working, because again, it does have a rippling effect versus like in fashion, if there are six designers submitting work and the one person's style didn't fit, if you got rid of them, it usually made the line more cohesive. And the one designers didn't really interrupt with the other jobs. But in film, everything is so connected that it's really tricky because, like I said, you could change one thing and then have these 52 other issues because you changed one thing. So for me, I'm really pleased with them as they are. I think that every film is not without its problems and trials and tribulations. But I also think that that's what makes you grow as a filmmaker and also as a human. You know, I can definitely say that none of my films have been perfect. They're not what I envisioned them to be prior to making them. But I can tell you I learned a lot along the way. I can tell you that I don't repeat my mistakes. And I can tell you that I'm a stronger filmmaker and a better human being, having suffered the trials and tribulations I have on each of them.
Oh, that's a very good answer.
Thanks.
So along with the... No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Wolfie. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, as I say, along with all the movies that you make, you also do... But we do. You do a YouTube show with Dorf. How is that going along? the Scream Queen stream.
That is, I think it's so much fun. For me, that's sort of like just a passion project that we love. We are over on Patreon, so if you do like it, please consider supporting us. I don't know about you guys, but we are never going to make money on YouTube. The YouTube algorithm, but also like YouTube flags all of our content, which is shocking because I think most of it is pretty advertiser friendly, but not according to YouTube standards. I think it's because Heather swears a lot. But that being said, you know, I also made a YouTube video on my Inside My Indie Life channel called Fuck You YouTube, at which point I said fuck you YouTube like I don't even know how many times, and that one still maintained monetization. So it's a freaking mystery. I don't understand it. But we just kind of do what we, whatever we want. It's sort of true to our life. It's us hanging out. It's us having fun. We're playing games. We take recommendations. We don't do everything. Like, we've had some wonderful fans that we know and love who are friends who have been like, we really want you to review this film, but we're not really a review channel. And in order for us to make like enough content doing that to like fit into the narrative, we'd have to like watch 12 hours of films for like 6 reviews or 5 minutes each for a 30 minute episode, and it would just be more time than we have to put in, and also I don't think it would really be that powerful of an episode or that entertaining, but we are always open to suggestions, so please feel free to like ask us whether or not it might be a right fit. But we just have fun, you know, that's kind of like what we're trying to do, just have a good time. For those wonderful human beings who love and support us who can't hang out with us every day, this is kind of your opportunity to sort of be a fly on the wall, you know, for lack of a better term. I think it's a really good representation of what we are just normally like when we hang out and do stuff. So it's been really great. I mean, one of my favorite episodes this past year is the whipped cream challenge. So if you haven't seen one, I'd highly recommend that one. In the opening, it's Heather Dorff at the angriest I've ever seen her. It's hilarious. I think it's so freaking funny. She's so angry when she realizes I'm cheating. And by the way, I don't condone cheating except on stupid little makeup games. At which point, like, in a lot of these, like, the objective is to not get whipped cream on you. So whatever you do to meet that objective, I think is a win. You know? So, yeah, it's just super
fun. My favorite episodes are when it's you, Dorff, and sometimes your other friend, Danny. And you guys are playing, like, Cards Against Humanity. Whenever you guys Danny's are playing those, great. They're just hilarious.
Right? Danny's amazing. Yeah, you can always tell it's going to be a good episode if Dorff falls on the ground. That's like the clinker. But yeah, Danny's super fun. It's sometimes tricky with like all of our schedules, trying to get them all to align, but we try.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time. I haven't seen them all, but the ones I've seen, I've really enjoyed. And so the Patreon thing is working out for you guys fairly well.
We love Patreon for that kind of content. I think it's good because like it's always... It's similar in tone every week, even though we do different things. It's always like Heather and I doing something, sometimes with other people. And again, just trying to have fun, something that's like lighthearted. Every once in a while, we do a serious episode, but we try to keep it overall very lighthearted. We have obviously had women in horror discussions and connected to the Harvey Weinstein issues. And we've talked about depression and how we get over it and things like that, which are near and dear to our heart. But for the most part, it's like lighthearted, feel good sort of content, and also like designed to just sort of not be an act or anything other than just us being us. So if you were to like get stuck at an airport with us, the same kind of stuff that you would see, you know. So I think it's really, really fun, and Patreon I think is a really wonderful place for that kind, for any kind of consistent content, in both consistent uploading but then also consistent in tone of theme. Nice. So you could definitely check it out. Even a dollar helps, as you guys know. Yep. Yeah. We can't get sponsors. Perhaps I'll reach out to Deadly Grounds, because the fact that I'm not sponsored by a coffee company is stupid. Or like
we need a cult
vodka. Can I get like a vodka energy drink and coffee sponsor? Oh, that'd be nice. That would be amazing.
Just want
to vodka taste and coffee.
Yeah, I want to let everybody know we are running on the 1 hour mark, so we're going to be wrapping it up shortly. So if you have any questions, make sure you post them over in the chat rooms. Terry Smith says, drinking out my Scream Stream coffee mug right now. And Steve Zabreski is in the chat room, says, Citizen Rose is on tonight. Anyone DVR it? Josh, not huge fan of Scream Queen Stream. And Steve wants to say, hope all is well, Jess.
Aw, thanks. Yeah,
we need to do a collab between us.
Taylor Scream Queen Stream mug. Pardon?
Tony?
Sorry, I was rereading what Josh said.
Oh, what did he say? What did I miss?
He said, well, no, he says huge fan of. It sounded like he said not for a moment.
Oh, no, no. He didn't. I heard that. I heard
yeah, I thought you said he wasn't a fan of Scream.
Oh, really?
Oh no, he is.
His last name is Gannat.
Oh,
yeah. Same here. That's what I was like, okay, well, it's not for everyone.
Or Gannat. It's Gannat.
Gannat. Like,
there was this one guy who was just like, he paid for the most expensive perk package, which is like $300, just so that he could tell me that he hated me.
Wow.
I've never met him before in my life. And like, so again, like, there's some people that just don't like you or just don't like, you know what I mean? And every, honestly, like about once a week, I get a stupid YouTuber comment that gets blocked, being like, you guys should be naked or show us your tits or something like that. So, I mean, there are, you know, that's not the kind of show it is. And also, right, it wouldn't be on YouTube. If it
exactly.
Was, for the record.
Yeah, how dumb.
And I think it's because there's a lot of adult content on Patreon, but we're not that kind of Patreon. We're just like two best friends that have fun. You want to hang out? That's fucking rad. You don't. Yeah. You're looking for nudity and sex and stuff. Awesome. You're not going to find it here.
Right. Elsewhere. I would have done reply video counting the $300. Thanks for your
Right?
Everyone here probably got so much hate, but you got paid $300 to hear that hate.
I will say, I
get like, hate for free.
Haters, please do that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I would greatly appreciate it if all the haters would do that. I will, like, I'll send you each a t-shirt. I don't fucking care.
Blaine.
No, but I was saying before we should all collab.
Too many people talking at once.
Yep.
Did it all over again, Tony.
I was going to say we should all collaborate. We should have a stream queen stream and Dorkening connection and find some way to incorporate it.
Well, if we ever do a convention together, we'll have to just definitely play like Drunken Cards Against Humanity, maybe Bean Boozled, and some other really fun stuff.
Have you played Exploding Cat or
Exploding Kittens?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you did offer to give me a makeover. I'm just saying.
I did. Well, again, like, but if it's happening at a convention, there has to be shots involved.
All right.
Dwarf is allowed to do baby shots because she's a lightweight and she ends up dead on her bathroom.
Well, I can tell you right now, I used to drink a lot more when I was younger, and I don't drink so much anymore, so it would probably get pretty messy with me as well.
Well, I mean, we could also alternate between shots of Deadly Grounds. I'm just saying.
All right.
Oh, there we go.
That could actually be like, because you'd be like drunk but still wired.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We'll figure it out. So that being said,
best idea I've ever had in my entire life.
So go to ScareCon New England and again recommend that Jessica Cameron be a guest so this can happen.
That would be so much fun.
And I'll message JV tonight as well. As a matter of fact, we got to reach out to him, figure out what we're going to be helping with. Andrew Haunt from the UK says, first time checking out the show. You guys are so fun and always cool to see Jessica. I'm a convert.
Hi, Andrew.
And Andrew, if you enjoyed the show, we do this every Tuesday at 9 p.m. We do a Sunday show, so, too. So.
Fun fact, Andrew is one of, if not my favorite writer. He is not only a really great human being, and you'll see him collaborating with me on a future project.
Nice.
But working with him has just been like ridiculously easy because he just does all the work. Like, he's just so talented. He's just like done. I'm actually the one, like, I'm the holdup, which is never the case in my life. Usually I'm like, I have so much, you know, because I don't sleep and I work all the time. People are never usually waiting for me, but he's always waiting for me because he's just so on top and he's so great. I love it.
Cool. Blaine Thomas McGovern from Long Beach, California says, Dorf is the fall girl, LOL, and at least you got to $300. And
right?
Yeah. And,
I'm not going to lie. I was like, well, I've been told that someone hated me and not paid $300. Right. So although that's never a great sentiment to share, it hurts a lot less when you get $300.
Exactly. I don't even understand like the mentality behind that.
Oh, no, I thought I was being punked. I was like, you're joking, right? He's like, no, I just want to tell you that I hated you. And he made like a public post about how he contributed to Scream Queen Stream, but hated me. Like, he did it so that he could be like, I hate her.
I wish I had that kind of money to just be a dick.
Right? I mean, right?
I don't know.
Right? But also, like, no offense. Like, I looked at it and like, I'm surprised that he did. You know what I mean? Or, like, you know, don't. I don't know. Either way, I mean, I'll take it.
He's like, my cable got shut off and everything, but I wanted to tell you, you know.
Right. Well, and like the thing is too, like he did like that weird thing, like where sometimes people do this, where like they're like they hate something you do or for some reason, and they'll make a rude out of line comment or like something that makes you no longer like want them on your social media pages. But then that like start just going like as soon as they've like shown themselves basically, then they'll just start attacking you on every platform. But the problem is, like, or the foolish thing is, a lot of these people when they do it, they like go right after the bat. So it's literally just like, I see a notification on Facebook and you're blocked and the comment's deleted. 2 seconds later, oh, look, there's a comment you just made on Twitter. You're blocked and that comment's deleted. So, like, literally, it's like a matter of minutes because you're not even being smart about it. Like, if you would have waited like an hour between like negative comments, I wouldn't have thought to like block him on YouTube and all the other things.
Yeah.
But he made them like so rapid succession where it was just like comment and block, delete, comment, block, delete, comment. And I was like, really? Like,
he's just furious. He's like, I was like, did I do something?
I was like, have we ever met? And he was like, no, I just don't like you.
Wow. Some people. Yeah,
thank you for the money.
Yeah.
Right?
Anyways.
The check cleared. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Wendorf was happy because we split everything for screen. I was like, hey, guess what? That one guy, he only contributed because he hates me. She was like, a new expansion pack. Like, I am not even kidding you. Look at this message. She was like, oh my God. But then I was like, can I make like an IHateJessicaCameron.com website and sell t-shirts? Like, is there money to be made here? Because I feel like there could be.
It's just one person buying stuff over and over and over.
Yeah, there's one dude.
like, I'm just saying.
Charge $300 a shirt.
$300 a shirt. The guy goes broke.
Right? No, I want them to be accessible. Because I think it'd be hilarious. I would so love to confront somebody wearing like an I Hate Jessica Cameron t-shirt, like who's legitimately wearing it because they hate me. Because like the irony too is usually when people take issue with something, it's like often in this situation, I was like, I'd never spoke to this man before. I've never seen him. I've never met him. I don't know what it is that could have possibly, you know what I mean? It's usually like these people that just have made an assumption or, you know, like there was one guy where I guess I was like running to the bathroom between like meet and greets at a convention or something. And I guess like he asked for my autograph and I said, please just go to the table. You know, I'm like literally running and I'm physically running. And he just took that as a diss and it wasn't. It was just, you know, sometimes it's like, you drink a lot of coffee at these things. I need to use the ladies room, you know. Yeah. And also there's a time and a place to, you know, come to the table. Not right. Like stopping me as I'm trying to desperately get 3 minutes to the bathroom.
Right. But yes, I don't know. Some people, Some people just get things blown out of proportion and whatever. It would definitely be odd to sell I Hate Jessica Cameron shirts for real. And I don't know. It would be funny to have a picture taken with you like pointing at one with someone wearing it and then just be like,
I do. Like, that's, I even thought about it. I was like, I have to have a back hit, like a back graphic on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, like, if I saw them, I could take a photo with them without them knowing it was me. Because how funny would that be? Like, you see someone standing in line and I'm just like behind them, like this. Like, next to my face on their t-shirt with like a circle and like that line through
yeah,
it.
Like a Ghostbusters thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just with Cameron, like, it's that ridiculous. I'm like,
And again,
that'd be fucking rad.
That would be pretty funny, but then, you know.
I think it'd be hilarious. I would, like, make Dorf wear one.
Yeah, and then people would be like, who's this Jessica Cameron? I need to find out what's going on with this.
Boycott Jessica Cameron. Jessica Cameron against humanity.
Primus did that back in the 90s. Primus had t-shirts that said Primus sucks, and people were like, right? What's Primus? Yeah, why do they suck?
Yeah. Film Threat launched their comeback with Film Threat Sucks.
Hmm. You got an idea? I think you should do it. Maybe not.
Right? Yeah.
Anyways,
we'll finish things up. There were a bunch of comments that just came in on YouTube. Yo-Yo, are you keeping an eye on us?
He's like, whoops.
Now I am now.
Okay. While you get caught up, Bearded Slasher says, you have to ignore the assholes like that guy. They are just mad they can't get their Tide Pod addiction fix.
Oh.
Right? Well, and that's it. Like, you know, and don't get me wrong. Like, here's the thing. I still don't. Sometimes, like, there's a couple actresses who talk shit, and Dorf is like, why does this person hate you? And I was like, I don't know. Like, a lot of the time, it's jealousy. Like, you work more, and people talk shit. Hmm. But, like, then there's people like this where you're like, there's literally no reason in the world, you know, and you just have to be like, oh, well.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It helps, though. It really does help when you can buy shoes from the haters. Thanks for hating me. These are like the new 5 pairs of shoes I bought. Awesome.
There's a BOGO at at DSW, and I went shopping. Thanks.
Love that place.
Was there anything else?
Yeah, anything else? For you?
Terry says that I'll print a shirt saying I hate you for hating Jessica.
Oh. Aw, thank you, Terry.
Then we have Josh who said, some people just love to be assholes. I don't get it. Which, you
know, yeah. Right? I share that sentiment. I'm always saying to people, if you really hate something, don't give it your time, right? Like, share what you love. Rather than taking 3 minutes to tell someone you hate them, take 3 minutes and tell someone you love them or that you appreciate their work. You know what I mean? Because it's just a better use of your time.
Right.
Very true.
I agree 100%.
Now, that being said, the haters are great because they make all my view counts go up.
That's true. Maybe that's why, you know, our view counts don't go up higher. People don't,
maybe.
Everyone loves us.
Everyone likes us.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That must be it.
Yeah, no, you don't see the stats.
Next week, everyone shows up with the I Hate Jessica Cameron t-shirt on.
Don't tempt me.
Every now and then we'll
get
some.
Oh my God, those horrible men over there on that podcast.
Oh no, I was going to say you don't see the stats because every now and then we'll piss somebody off and I'll see like a huge, like somebody went through all our videos to like hit the thumbs down. On it.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah.
Oh, so do I. I get like a one on a movie on IMDb before it's ever been screened. And I'm like,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I still don't know why they allow it. Or like, I'll get like a review from someone who's never seen the movie because it's like not screened in that country. I'll be like, that's great. Thanks. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't go by IMDb or anything anyway, so. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's just trolls there, unfortunately. Hell, even, like, nowadays, I feel like they're permeating Facebook. I made a post today about Mark Salling, who is that Glee actor that killed himself, and all the people that were, like, pro the pedophiles should be able to live their lives were, like, all trolls from other, like, not even on my friends list. I don't even know how they saw it. They must have just, like, you know, Googled it or been like trying to pay attention for people that were posting thoughts on similar to my own. But I'm like, I don't remember Facebook being so troll centric.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always been that way.
Yeah, they come out a lot recently. I mean, there's certain places I avoid completely, like Reddit, because people are just not nice.
Yeah.
Like it's, everyone just has to be negative and it's just like, I'm too old for that crap. Let's go outside at recess.
Right?
It's their business.
But like, also, like, I feel bad for them because I'm like, that's not a fun way to live life.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. It's toxic. It can't feel good.
Yeah.
It's just not fun.
No. Exactly.
Well, on that note, we're going to wrap things up here. I want to thank you all for watching. And if you like this show, we do this 3 times a week. Every Tuesday is the Wicked Horror Show. Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Every other Thursday is the Ultimate Video Game Show, also at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And every Sunday at 10 a.m., right? 10 a.m., yeah.
Are you new? How do you not know?
He's going to show up at 11
You're the one who hits the button.
I know. every Sunday we do the Dorkening at 10 a.m. And make sure you definitely support our sponsor if you like Coffee Deadly Grounds, but also more importantly, support Jessica Cameron. Show notes down below or up above.
That lovely dog.
Yeah. And Jessica, where do you like people following you?
Oh, well, I'm all over social media. So you can follow me on Facebook, Actress Jessica Cameron fan page. You can follow me on Instagram, Actress Jessica Cameron, or on Twitter, Jessica Cameron _. If you forget any of those links, you can go to jessicacameron.com, and surprisingly, all the links will be there. It's magic.
Awesome. Tony.
Right.
You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews. I just did a complete horror movie collection update, and I have a few Jessica Cameron movies in there. You can find me on Instagram, where I show off my movies behind me. I have a Snapchat, which I hardly ever use, a Stardust, and you can find me on the Dorkening.
Yo.
You can find me at boymeetsphone.com, also boymeetsphone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing your social media, should probably be there. You can also find me at Yo Saint Laurent on most of those same social networks. And of course, you can find me here in the Dorkening.
Wolfman.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorking, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show. Doing the horror one with Kev, when we've done that, we'll be doing the Wicked Horror Reviews, and, you know, just check out the stuff I got up right now.
Kevin.
A-Knuckle on Twitter, Instagram, A-Knuckle3 on Snapchat. Every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, I will be a guest on Trick or Treat Radio tomorrow night. So go check that out. I believe it's a 3-hour show, so it'll be fun.
Nice,
I guess. Yeah, it'll be fun. There's a bunch of good guys. So, yeah, I'll be over there, and yeah, it's about doing stuff with Wolfie as well. You know, obviously, didn't want to leave that out. And that's it.
Okay. And I always, you know, I never introduce myself. My name is Leo. I'm the guy behind the screen here, hitting the buttons, making everything work. And make sure you subscribe or like our stuff. We do this every week. It's always been a ton of fun. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. And if you got a couple minutes, we'll do something for Wolfie's sit down, which he'll have up on his channel as well. And we'll catch you guys later.
Absolutely. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.